Almighty God, it's that night that we're here to celebrate the love of a God who would make this all so possible. We praise you. We thank you. Jesus, as we just consider the gift that you've brought this world, we pray, Holy Spirit, come, be present. Give us understanding into you, your ways, your purposes, and what was behind all of this from the very beginning. We pray this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you guys, please take a seat. Well, it's great to see you guys and just see people worshiping Jesus together, and it's really incredible. So part of Christmas, let's just be honest, is gifts. It just is, right? I want you to think for just a moment. Think of the very best gift you ever got as a kid. And if you're a kid, this is real easy, right? Because it's a lot more recent than for some of us. And then think of the worst gift you ever received. All right, and some of you probably don't have a worst gift. You had really good parents, that's awesome. I do. I'll just share real quick. Worst gift I ever got, I was in sixth grade. It's my Christmas, and there's a little context behind this, and it's not necessarily my proudest era of life, but a couple of my friends and I, we never used the M word, but essentially we had mullets, okay? Where, you know, it was long hair in the back, and my dad, why he allowed that, I don't know. I'm blaming him, as I know is my decision, but still, I wish he had stopped. But he didn't like it, and he let me know he didn't like it. So for Christmas one year, he literally got me a ponytail. And it was the most humiliating, because I open it up, and the whole family is just laughing out loud, except me. And I'm mortified, and I don't know, the whole thing. So I didn't throw it away. I put it in the top dresser drawer. I put it in the back left corner, and I don't know that I've ever seen it again. Like, I hated it. I hated that he did that. That was the worst gift I ever got. But I also have a best gift, and it was, like, completely different than that. I remember one year, I had really wanted this bike. I feel like I've shared this before. Some of you probably heard this, but I got my dream bike. It was a Huffy 10-speed, which is so ironic, by the way, that we now live like right next to Cannondale, basically, right? Cannondale and Huffy are on opposite ends of the spectrum, okay? So but at the time, it was the best bike I knew. It was red and silver. I was so excited. And the interesting part of that is we lived on a rock road out in the country. And y'all are familiar with gravel roads probably, right? Just little gravel, right? A rock road where I lived was limestone rock, like chunks of it, and white, like very white. And so, you know, all our hedge, kind of like the lilacs and all that stuff we had out by the road, was just covered in white dust. And so truly, if I was gonna bike into town about a 2-mile ride, I would go to the end of my lane and I would stop and listen. And it's, you know, super quiet out there. And if I didn't hear anybody, I would just go as hard as I could to get into town, because if a car goes by and it's dry, which it's the plains in summer, it's always dry, it's just this big white wall of dust, massive, what you cannot see through it. It's terrible to get caught in it, especially if you're biking, because it's, you know, you have to shut your mouth and it's dry anyway. But as soon as I got into town, I'd go to the gas station, clean it off, and then I was a cool kid again. So that was my favorite gift. I have my least favorite. I also have a favorite gift. And tonight we're gonna consider a Christmas gift, the greatest Christmas gift ever. For really the month of December, we've been kind of going through a little bit of a series, and tonight we're gonna kind of jump right into that. It doesn't matter if you weren't here for the others. I think this one will stand alone. But we talked about different secular aspects of Christmas that God has made holy, and so the very first week we talked about Christmas cheer, and it wasn't the booze. It was the excitement, right? It was just the tremendous, like there's just a buzz and an excitement around Christmas. And how that's related to just the worship of Jesus, acknowledging Jesus. And then we talked about Christmas music and movies, and then a Christmas dinner. Pastor Gary taught on that. And so we're going to talk about Christmas gifts this evening. And there's something significant about Christmas gifts would be the longevity. How long does a gift last? And if the ponytail I got lasted a couple minutes before I stuffed that thing away. I was done. I never wanted to see it again. My bike, I don't know what year I got it, but I rode it until I turned 16 and could drive anywhere I wanted. That thing I wore out. But the gift that we're really here for tonight, the gift of Christ, is eternal. And you talk about longevity. You talk about getting the most out of a gift. What God the Father did by bringing Jesus into this world, it's not a temporary gift to put a smile on your face for a moment. It's a gift that lasts a lifetime and then an eternal lifetime, a lifetime that has no end. This is what that gift is. And so when we consider the gift of Christmas, this is absolutely incredible. This is the greatest gift we could have ever received. There's joy in giving. I believe God has so much joy in giving what he's given to us. I absolutely know that. It's his character. But you know, we've all heard that phrase, it is better to give than to receive, right? And when you're 6 years old and 10 years old, you think adults are nuts who say that, you know? And then if you become a parent, that's for me when it really clicked. It's a riot. It's so much fun to give a gift to your child and watch the smile, the excitement, it's just such a relief to see the absolute joy that they have. And it's that joy that I really believe that an aspect of faith, of walking with God, is to be generous. It's actually one of the values, one of the five values of our church is generosity. And God wants us to be generous with our time, generous with everything we have, just to share with others. And I really believe that's his heart for Christmas, is that yes, when we give gifts, and gifts isn't what Christmas is all about, but when we give gifts, that we do it with such a generous heart. And so I wanna just share three things this evening that have to do with when you select a gift to give to somebody, okay? So the very first thing in selecting a gift to truly, this is the heart of a giver, okay? This is what we want. You want the gift to be worthy of the person. You want the gift you give to be worthy of the person who's receiving it. So, for instance, if you're a guy and you're gonna propose to this girl, right? She's your dream woman, you give her a diamond, right? What is she worth? But you wanna give her the greatest thing you know, which is a super tiny thing, right? That's worth a whole lot. Like you want to bless her in such an incredible way. However, there are things you don't give. True story, the kids and I were shopping last week or last weekend, and out for Andrea, and we were walking through a store, and I'm like, I saw something that she and I had talked about getting, something I wanted. It's a household thing, you know. And ours was really old, needs replaced, and this was 60% off. And I got super excited, but I'm like, well, it's Christmas. So I called Andrea, I'm like, hey, by the way, this is on sale, da da da. Do you think I should pick it up? And it's a hint, like, did you get this for me for Christmas? Like, should I not? You know? And her reply was just, I said, should I get it? And she's like, yeah, I actually thought about that, but that'd be like you getting me a vacuum for Christmas. And I was like, yeah, uh-oh. So there are things you, if you're thinking about the value of the person, there are things you don't want to give as that kind of gift, right? There are better times to give those gifts, right? So, but isn't this really something? Jesus, when he was born, the wise men came and they gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Mr. Vorncall, who's here today, right before the service, he gave me a comic strip. It was a family circus, and Billy, I think his name is, one of the kids is like talking to his dad, like, or the preacher, and he's like, if they were so wise, why didn't they give him toys and fun stuff instead of that other stuff, you know? But it's really something, because I've read different beliefs on like what they symbolize, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The reality is, and it's just the simplicity of this, is they were gifts fit for a king. That's what it is. They were gifts for a monarch. It was very common in that time. That's what you'd give a monarch. They were gifts fit for a king. And so when we think about the person we're giving a gift, we want the gift to be worthy of that person. So now, consider God. Consider what he gave us. Okay, we do that sometimes, right? Gosh, he gave his only son, ouch. How did he do that? I mean, we think about that. But think of it from his perspective of what he thought of you. He had to find a gift that was worthy of you. What does that say about the worth that when he looks at you, that he sees? He gave the very thing that was most important to him. It's family, because he wanted us to be family. He gave his only son. You know, God could have given you power. He could have given you money. He could have given you the greatest talent or sense of humor in the whole wide world. Like he could have given us all these things that would come in really useful. Instead, he made sure it hurt him. That was where the gift was. He gave a gift that hurt. None of that other stuff would have cost him anything to give us. But the very thing he gave was the thing that would cost him the most, his son. And the point of that is, the Father looks at you with immense love, incredible love. I know there's a perception that God, you know, I've heard it so many times, God's gonna be so angry with me for this, and I don't pray much because I feel like I've blown that relationship. I've heard it all, but I'm telling you, if you look at Scripture, you look at who our loving God is. He is a God who is for you. He is a God who would do anything to win your heart. And that's why the gift he gave us cost him the most. He didn't give us an easy gift. He gave us the hardest gift he had, because that's what you're worth. So when you're selecting a gift, you want the gift to be worthy of the person that you're giving it to. And then the second thing is, you desire that the person would love the gift. You want the person receiving the gift to really like the gift. You know, I had to quit. For a long time, I had tried to pick clothes for Andrea. I've got a really good eye of what would look great on her. The problem is she doesn't agree. And so now, I could get her something, a lot of sports themes things in particular, that would look really good on her. She won't wear them. And so I've learned, here's what you do. If we're walking through a store and she stops and like looks at something and says, I really like that. I get on my phone to do a fake text, and I literally have a file on my phone, and it's called Andrea's Gift Ideas for Andrea, and it's a bullet list of things, and I'm like, okay, it's in the middle of this story. I have to, because I want her to love what I get her, and I don't have it, okay? I got to get help, and I want her to love it. When we open gifts tomorrow, I want my kids, I just want to watch them love what they get. There's something about that. I know what it's like to get a ponytail for Christmas. I don't want to give a gift like that. My dad does love me. I don't know. So here's the thing. Do you know that God desires that every person on the face of the earth would receive the gift that he's given and would love the gift that he's given? Every single one. That's God's heart. God's the giver here, right? He gives us the most expensive gift, the gift that would cost him more than anything else. And he wants the people that he gives it to, which is every person on the face of the earth, he wants them to love the gift and receive the gift. I love this verse. There's a almost three decades after Jesus died on the cross. So almost six decades after Christmas, okay? The original Christmas. A guy named Paul, this church, St. Paul, right? That St. Paul was writing a letter to his spiritual son. And he, the first couple of verses, he said something about pray for the king. Pray for your kings that the favor would be on them and therefore favor on all people, and which is really cool. We want to pray for our president. We want to pray for congressmen, no matter who they are. That's absolutely important. But then he follows it up with this verse. I just love this verse. He says, this is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will, it's his plan, it's his purposes that all people would receive the gift that he paid for. He put this amazing cost up. It cost him the life of his son to win the hearts of all of mankind. He desires that we'd receive it. You know what the number one most requested gift is at Christmas in the United States? Gift cards. I know, pretty obvious, but gift cards. However, do you know that in the last 15 years, in this nation alone, in the last 15 years, there are $50 billion of unused gift cards? So if you own a business, sell gift cards. Like seriously sell them, because it's like, it's making money. But isn't that something that it's the thing we want? We want gift cards, and yet there's $50 billion, I can't imagine that number, just unused in people's drawers and who knows where, right? And it's just wow. But how is that different? If that's $50 billion, what's something that's priceless, that's not received, that's not utilized, that's not loved, that's not embraced? You see, that's the gift that God has given us. He's given us this gift of salvation. He's given us the gift of his son so that we'd receive it and not use it just shut away in a drawer and going, that's a good one. I'm going to hold on to that for later. And we walk away and then we kind of forget about it. Or sometimes we remember it's there, but we don't engage with that. And I want to encourage you, man, God loves to give good things to his people. And it's his, yes, it would break his heart, but yes, it's the joy that he has to give us the life of his son. You're worth it. And he wants you to love Jesus and love that gift. The last thing tonight, in selecting a gift for a person, you want the recipient to know your intentions in giving that gift, right? That you want the person to know the why. Like, why? What's behind it? For instance, right, we talked about, you know, it, with an engagement, why a diamond? Diamonds are forever. That's the motto anyway. Diamonds are forever. There's an intention when a guy gives somebody a ring and says, "Will you be my bride?" And there's this expectation of forever. This is never going to end, right? There's this immense intention behind that, and God also has intention with the gifts He gives and with the gift of Christ. And I believe God wants you to know the reason for His gift. The gift of a son in a stable on a baby, right? But He wants you to know His gift. Three little things on this. One, God loves you. God really loves you. There's just period. There's nothing else about that. God loves you. Even the Bible uses the phrase that the apple of His eye, meaning the glory of all of creation that He created. You're the masterpiece. You're the prize of creation, humanity. God absolutely loves you. But two, you ran away from Him. We all did. We ran away from God. We ran into sin. And we chose sin. It doesn't matter who sinned more, who sinned less, or what kind of sin. Like, we ran away from God when we chose sin. And the problem is we can't fix it, so we need an extraordinary save. And it's something we can't come up with on our own. But God loves you, right? And so the third thing is that God has paid that ransom. He wants you to come home. That's what it is. That's His heart behind it all. He loves you. He knows that you can't right the ship that's been wronged, and so He's righted it for you, and He wants you to receive that. That's what Christmas is. It's we call it the greatest story ever told. Well, it's the beginning of a story, and we'll have Easter in a few months, and you know, we repeat these yearly, and I think it's so incredible. There's a heart of God that needs to be captured. It's not just something we want to believe that Jesus died on the cross for us. We want to know the intention behind the God who did this, who had His Son come to earth. And it's this gift of Christmas that Jesus desires us to receive, to embrace. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank You for the gift, the greatest gift we've ever received, and that's simply forgiveness. You give us something that cost You so much because You see value in us. You found a gift that in Your eyes was worthy of us. It just describes Your love for us. Lord, we thank You. God, may our lives be so centered around the reality of Jesus and around the reality of love, so that we would walk with You, that our lives would be lived out to bring glory to Your name, to receive the gift You've paid for us, to receive it and to say, Lord, we love this gift. We love this relationship with You. We love heaven. We love eternity. We love the longevity of this gift. We praise You. We love You. And we bless You, all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.